talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here's a note that we got from the Manhattan Institute. And the Manhattan Institute, I know we've got a friend in Bozeman who works for the Manhattan Institute, but is based out of Bozeman. So, yeah, cool outfit there. But anyway, they sent us this note. We got this note from Leah Thomas. Today, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments. This was yesterday. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case Grants Pass v. Johnson. Many court watchers expect Grants Pass to be reversed, and with it, the previous Ninth Circuit decision on which it was based, Boise v. Martin, a decision that has led to less enforcement and more street homelessness. So anyway, we've got Judge Glock, the director of research and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, who's going to be with us here in just a couple of minutes. Fox News Radio also has a report we can share with you for a little bit of a scene setter before we jump right into it with Judge Glock coming up here after the news and weather break.
Attorney Kelsey Corcoran says a camping ban ordinance in Grant Pass, Oregon, amounts to cruel and unusual punishment.
The ordinances, by design, make it physically impossible for homeless people to live in Grants Pass without facing endless fines and jail time.
The justices appeared split. Chief Justice John Roberts questioned if the court should weigh in on competing policy priorities.
Do you build the homeless shelter or do you take care of the lead pipes? What is there isn't enough fire protection? Which one do you prioritize?
Justice Elena Kagan suggested if a homeless person has nowhere to go, sleeping in public is like breathing in public. A decision is expected before the court's term ends this summer. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Yeah, of course, the big flaw in that argument is that there are places to go. I mean, there are massive amounts of public land in Oregon outside the township of Grants Pass or the municipality or the city, whatever you refer to it, right? There are plenty of places to go. So, again, I think what the majority, hopefully what the majority will do is say, why should a federal court of appeals, why should a United States Supreme Court be micromanaging what some town of Grants Pass, Oregon, is doing to deal with a transient problem? Right. Just as common sense. Hey, here's another thing that I know a lot of people are struggling with right now. You're struggling with pain. You're struggling with pain in your knees, pain in your back, or maybe in your hips. And you're trying to avoid surgery if you can. Sometimes you got to get surgery. But you're also trying to avoid painkillers. You know, the opioid epidemic in part is fueled by people who take painkillers for pain and then get addicted to the painkillers. Well, what if you could avoid the painkillers as well, but get over the pain? That's what you can do with regenerative medicine. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in what is known as regenerative medicine. That's where they take the healing properties that are already in your body, consolidate them, and put them directly into your achy joints. You can call them today to get a free consultation just to see if this works for you. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. Again, that's QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. If you want to get your free consultation to try to avoid surgery, avoid the drugs, and get over the pain.
This is Fox on Justice. Sources tell Fox thieves from Chile popping up all over the U.S. are like ghosts. Police really don't know who they are or how to track them. The Biden administration could solve it tomorrow, we're told, by removing Chile from the visa waiver list. That, however, has not happened.
I literally cannot comprehend why the United States government is trying to protect Chileans who are coming in and breaking into our homes.
That's Orange County Prosecutor Todd Spitzer, who's seen an explosion of home burglaries allegedly committed by Chilean nationals. The same goes for wealthy neighborhoods in New York, Philly, Detroit, Phoenix, and more. Los Angeles Interim Police Chief Dominic Choi.
I can tell you that we have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country.
Chile is the only Latin American country whose residents can enter the U.S. as tourists without a visa or criminal background check. Police say Chile should do a better job cooperating with the U.S. or lose its visa waiver. William Lajeunesse, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay up around 60 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy. Low temperature readings back around the mid-30s. And the outlook for Wednesday does call for more sunshine. Highs from around 70 to 75. Partly cloudy skies expected Wednesday night. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, what a name here. Judge Glock. Judge is his first name. Glock is his last name. I like to carry a Glock 43X myself with the Shield Arms mag underneath. But anyway, Judge Glock, Director of Research and Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Great to have you on Montana Talks. I gave our listeners a little bit of a scene setter for this Supreme Court case here. But anyway, you actually, did I read right that the Manhattan Institute actually believes that the Supreme Court appears poised to overturn the Ninth Circuit here?
Yes, thanks for having me. And that's what it looks like. Most commentators before the oral argument yesterday expected the Supreme Court to overturn the Ninth Circuit. And after the oral argument, that still looks like the case. The Ninth Circuit argument that the homeless had an Eighth Amendment constitutional right to camp out in public did not find a lot of sympathy among most of the justices.
Yeah, one of the justices basically made the point, why should we as a United States Supreme Court or even the Ninth Circuit as a federal court of appeals, why should we be dictating or micromanaging a city on how they deal with transients in a transient element, right?
Exactly. This is most of the justices point out that this is a very complicated problem. And as soon as the lawyers for the homeless got beyond sort of the first step to say they have nowhere else to go, they have a right to be in public, they couldn't answer, to my mind, convincingly any number of particular questions about how this would operate. Would courts have to supervise if the homeless sleeping in the public places needed a tent? Would they have to supervise if they needed to light a fire to stay warm? What happens if the homeless have to defecate? This came up in the Supreme Court yesterday because they said, hey, this is a natural and involuntary activity, just like sleeping that you guys argue that they should be able to do in public. Why shouldn't they be able to defecate in public? And these were the sort of questions the lawyers for the homeless advocates did not have good answers for.
We have a right to defecate. You know, I have to laugh when you say that because in Missoula, Montana, which is a very liberal-run city, we've had moms say, we can't take our kids to the park because transients have been spotted defecating in the water fountains. But they use this case, the Grants Pass case, to say, well, we can't do anything about it. It's their big excuse.
Exactly. And a lot of these cities throughout the American West, if they're in the Ninth Circuit, or even if they're not in the Ninth Circuit, I'm in Texas, and my hometown of Austin claimed for a while they couldn't do anything because of this Ninth Circuit case, which was patently absurd. But, yes, these cities use this Ninth Circuit decision, both Grants Pass and the previous decision, City of Boise, going back to 2018, to say we can't do anything about this. We have to allow them to light fires that they need to keep warm, to set up tents, to defecate in public, to do all of these things that, frankly, do have to happen to some extent if you're going to allow people to continue to live in public spaces which are not meant for human habitation. The Ninth Circuit kind of made that blanket ruling that they're supposed to be allowed to be out there and didn't think about all of the sort of downstream consequences of that. Like, what are humans going to do in public? And yes, that means they're going to occupy that public space, and someone else who wants to take their kid to the park cannot occupy it.
Well, and I pulled up Grants Pass on the map here because I'm not too familiar with Grants Pass, Oregon. I pulled it up on the map here. It looks like it's relatively close to Northern California. It's just west of Medford, Oregon. So it's in Southern Oregon. But Grants Pass looks to be surrounded by federal land. So there's plenty of places for people to camp outside of Grants Pass. So it's not like if somebody needs a place to camp, they don't have anywhere to camp near Grants Pass, Oregon.
Exactly. This actually also came up in some of the briefs that were submitted to the court, that one of the plaintiffs, the homeless plaintiff, said, well, actually, I do sleep on Bureau of Land Management land occasionally. And occasionally I move outside of the city and county to sleep, and I'm able to do that for a while. So this is one of the other big problems with the argument that actual Justice Samuel Alito brought up. Why should any particular city where a homeless person happens to be at that moment have to have complete responsibility for them, even if they came from far away or even if there's plenty of alternatives directly outside the city? Again, to my mind, the advocates for the homeless didn't have clear arguments about why that should be.
It's interesting, too, reading some of the biased, mainstream media coverage here in Montana. They're trying to cover for these liberal-led cities like Bozeman and Missoula that encourage this transient invasion. And reading through the lines, it's as if these liberal cities, they want to be dictated by the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit. They want to continue to use the courts as an excuse for allowing for their pro-transient policies.
Exactly. This was very convenient for a lot of activists who wanted to do these things for a long time and now could claim to a justifiably outraged public that it was outside of their control, that said, hey, well, of course we'd love to take action on the transients, on the tent cities, on the encampments, but we can't because of the Ninth Circuit. And they often would use that as an excuse, even if they had alternatives, such as if they had open shelter space, which even the Ninth Circuit said you can remove people from public spaces if you have those. But the activists were always against moving people out of these public spaces by any sort of mandate whatsoever. And so, yes, it became a catch-all excuse to do things that a lot of people wanted to do for a long time anyway.
Yeah, very interesting. Judge Glock, Director of Research and a Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. We got to hit our next news and weather break here, get to the Farm and Ranch Report and more. But I tell you what, if you want to stand by, I'll come back to you after this, because I'm sure our listeners are wondering why. Why do they support this? Why do they want to encourage this lifestyle? So if you can, stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Last week, members of the Montana Stock Growers Association were in Washington, D.C. for the annual National Cattlemen's Beef Association Legislative Conference. Dirk Stovall is second vice president to the Montana Stock Growers.
Well, one thing you'll find out when you come out here and you have your cowboy hat on and your boots, you know, you definitely draw attention. And so just with many of us out here with our cowboy hats on, that's maybe this is the way we look every day, you know, we're drawing attention just by being here. And so, you know, it's been really neat working with the other states of taking the message of this is what our beef industry needs. And these are important issues that have to be addressed, not only right now, but it's for these really the importance for our industry. It's been actually humbling just to be part of the process, and you learn a lot. And what I've been excited about is you learn more about the process to be able to share that story when we go back home and visit with producers.
And the stock growers have been visiting and listening to producers with their producer profitability listening sessions. 8 have been held statewide so far, with 5 more to go.
We've had over 500 farmers and ranchers come that really represented multiple different organizations. And there are other listening sessions that we really want to invite people to. So just go to mtbeef.org and you can get these other dates.
The next listening session will take place in Stevensville on May 1st. I'm Lane Nordland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Judge Glock with the Manhattan Institute able to stick around with us for just a quick few minutes here. Judge, you know, the question I kind of threw out there before the break was, why do these leftists in these cities like Bozeman and Missoula and elsewhere across the country, Why do they support these pro-transient policies? We had a 14-year-old girl raped in Bozeman, Montana by a transient. We had a gym manager in Kalispell murdered by a transient. We've got transients defecating in water fountains, leaving drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River. And for decades now, these leftists have been promoting these pro-transient policies. Why?
Well, to the perspective of a lot of the leftist activist groups is that no one is, quote-unquote, homeless by choice, and that basically the only reason anyone would be homeless or transient is, quote-unquote, racism or systematic problems in capitalism. That is sort of their catch-all answer for why someone would end up homeless. And they just really refuse to wrestle with the fact that why they are correct that most homeless people do not have problems with mental illness, do not have problems with drugs. They are including the sheltered homeless, those which often include mothers of children, people in shelters for a short time, with the unsheltered homeless, which is what you're talking about, the transients out on the street and in the parks and so on. And that latter group, the unsheltered, is where overwhelming majorities have severe problems with mental illness and drugs, and often strong backgrounds of criminal offending. And the access community just refuses to recognize that. And so by refusing to recognize that, they think, well, if you just provide them with more services, sooner or later they get better. And any attempt to move them off a public space is cruel and unusual. And that's exactly what the Ninth Circuit bought when they agreed to the Grants Pass case originally.
Well, and I think it is so fundamentally wrong. They claim to be helping these people. I think they're just allowing them and encouraging them to be holed up they're enslaved to drugs and to this lifestyle. I met a young man in Helena, Montana a few weeks ago, and he told me how his grandparents, took him and his siblings in when he was in third grade. He told me, my mom is one of those people that's in a, transient encampment in Seattle. She's hooked on drugs. We've tried to rescue her and get her out of that. But these pro-transient policies just encourage that type of lifestyle, and they keep these people held in bondage.
All you have to do is look at a place like San Francisco or, God forbid, Los Angeles' Skid Row to see what this so-called compassion has done. Right now in Los Angeles, you have over 2,000 homeless people die a year. That means you're picking up about 5 body bags a day off the streets, because the activists say you can't possibly remove someone out of these encampments where drug and crime is rampant, where violence is rampant. And what your result is these thousands upon thousands of homeless deaths. That can't possibly be compassion. But their argument is all we have to do is once we build basically a free house for every one of those people on the street, we'll quote-unquote solve the problem. In the meantime, they argue, yes, we'll just have to let thousands and thousands of homeless people die and kind of cross our fingers and hope for the best. That can't be the right answer, and most Americans don't believe that.
That's right, and then little kids have to walk over drug needles and human feces to get to school. Nancy and Roundup, did you have a quick question for our guest before he has to run?
Yeah, good morning, Judge, and thank you, Aaron, for taking my phone call. I believe this is in part a death to America. We've been hearing the chants in the streets for over a month now on our college campuses. It's an effort to destroy Western civilization, to take our culture down.
All right, let's. I've only got about a minute or so here with Judge Glock. Judge, your thoughts, is this a deliberate effort by the left to basically destroy or transform this country into something else?
You see a lot of arguments by the activists that this is a systematic, that homelessness is sort of the preeminent example of problems in America and problems in capitalism. And therefore, they say you have to make it more apparent. It is definitely, and they've said this openly, many activists, that if you don't have these people out in the streets, if they're not visible, people aren't going to be aware of the problems in America. And you have to make them visible. And so, in the course of making them more visible in order to indict capitalism, yes, they feel like all the rest of us have to suffer. And again, that can't be a good solution either for the homeless or for the rest of us.
That's right. And it also makes more people more dependent on government. And when people are more dependent on the government, who do they vote for, right? So there's an election strategy there as well. Judge Glock with the Manhattan Institute. Man, great insight this morning. Thanks so much for freeing up some of your time for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Appreciate it. We'll get to our Fox News update here. And then 60 seconds after that, we've got the phone lines open for you. if you got something you want to talk about. Plus, I got some great messages that have been coming in this morning on our Montana Talks app that I didn't get the chance to share with you yet. So we'll get to some of those here in just a quick few minutes. One of the messages came in yesterday talking about transients in Billings. You know, we've been talking about transients in Missoula, transients in Bozeman. What about the transients in Billings? Stand by.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. Campus chaos spreading. The protest during Passover, despite police action, shutting down a Gaza solidarity tent city at NYU last night. President Biden says he denounces anti-Semitism, but also denounces people who don't know what's going on with the Palestinians. Protest today from Berkeley to Vanderbilt to Rice to Tufts. The Trump trial continues, but first a hearing whether to fine or jail the former president. New York DA Alvin Bragg's office claims Trump violated his gag order 10 times. House Democrats introduced a bill to remove Secret Service protection from any convicted felon. Congressman Jim Jordan.
There is no crime that brought this case to this courtroom. It would have been laughed out of any other courtroom in America if not being brought by far-left District Attorney Alvin Bragg, overseen by a Democrat judge who donated money to Joe Biden's campaign.
Well, that's Caroline Levitt, Trump team. America's listening to Fox News.
So this was a message that I believe this came in yesterday on our Montana Talks app. We were talking about the transients in Bozeman. You know, you had a young 14-year-old girl raped by a transient at a homeless encampment in Bozeman. And there's been other problems with transients in Bozeman. Missoula, homeless transients defecating in water fountains. Drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River. Kalispell, you had a gym manager. And I don't know if I should say the gym's name again. People who know the story know the story. But let's just say that gym has other gym locations across Montana. So if you want me to fire for effect over, I could let that one sink in closer to home for you if you want. Gym manager murdered after simply confronting a transient that was sleeping repeatedly in their parking lot. Murdered for a conversation. Did you read that in the Lee newspaper's Capitol Bureau report today? Any of what I just mentioned? I don't think any of that was covered. Montana cities watch U.S. Supreme Court case on homeless encampments. How come the very facts that I just shared with you weren't shared in that story? Back to this message, though. Cammie in Billings sent us this message. And I haven't, you know, looked into this particular situation. Let me just tell you that. Not that I don't believe this message. I just want you to know that this is a message that has come in. This is one of our listeners saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Here's the message from Cammie. The transients in Billings are pretty bad, too. I work at Ponderosa Elementary, and they have a whole village in the bushes right by the playground. The janitor called the cops on one this morning before school started. Because the guy was playing on the playground. The transient was playing on the playground at an elementary school. He was obviously on drugs and told the cops he was doing his morning workout. But they pass out on the playground. So the drugged up transients, according to this listener, pass out on the elementary school playground. And they dig through the garbage at school. There's children's toys by their campsite over there. It's scary. Anyway, that's a message that came in on our Montana Talks app yesterday. And again, these liberal-led cities in Bozeman and Missoula and liberal city council members in Billings and elsewhere across this state, they are watching this U.S. Supreme Court case hoping that the U.S. Supreme Court ties their hands, hoping that they have an excuse to continue to allow this transient invasion to destroy American cities all across this country. They are sitting back just hoping that the Supreme Court allows them to continue destroying their own towns and their own cities. Because you just watch, even if the Supreme Court overturns this case and takes away their excuse, they will still continue the transient invasion that's destroying their own communities. They will still tax you like crazy to pay for city parks that you can't even enjoy because of transients defecating in the water fountains.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's a couple of messages that came in on our Montana Talks app earlier this morning. Sorry, I'm just now getting to these because these are some great messages. First off, a listener in the Flathead. I'm not seeing your name on here, and I'm trying not to do the whole nickname thing. But I don't know why our app asks people for a nickname. This isn't like you know, some music morning show. It's news talk. We talk about serious stuff, although we like to joke around, especially when John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joins us. But anyway, a listener in the Flathead says this. Good morning, Aaron. Columbia University canceled in-person classes for the rest of the semester. Did they cancel them for the rest of the semester, or was it just the rest of the week? I know they're doing remote learning. They did remote learning yesterday because of all the threats and the violence directed towards Jewish students in particular. They are remote learning once again today at Columbia. I think they're doing it for the rest of the week. I hadn't heard for the rest of the semester, but I could be wrong. Anyway, Columbia University canceled in-person classes. Not because they care about Jewish students being safe, but because they want to hide their homegrown hordes of modern Nazis from the general public, especially during an election year. Disgusting. I think our listener in the Flathead might be onto something. They are getting embarrassed. They are a national embarrassment when their students and their radicalism and their leftist college professors are on full display. So it's more about protecting their college reputation than it is protecting their Jewish students. I think there's something to what that listener had to say there. Kendall and Laurel, if I put on my ultra MAGA tee and shouted death to America, I'd be hunted down and thrown in the DC gulag with the January Sixers. And worse yet, no one that I've sent money to or campaigned for would have my six. Kendall and Laurel, thanks for that message. All right, let's jump right into it here. Our next segment here, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We've got our friend Henry Kriegel on the phone lines. Man, Henry, it was great seeing you this past Friday. You and I were both part of a roundtable discussion with Montana Senator Steve Daines. Man, that was some eye-opening information, wasn't it?
Oh, that was excellent. I really enjoyed it. You know, what was really great was we had a wide range of business leaders from the Billings area, Elsinore County area join us. The Building Industry Association talking about how the American dream is no longer available to young people because the cost of housing has increased so dramatically because largely due to inflation, cost of goods, shipping of product, et cetera. Montanans are spending nearly $12,000 more per year to maintain the same quality of life as the previous year under this administration, under the Biden administration, supported by our Democrat U.S. Senator John Tester, who votes with them 91% of the time. What was really eye-opening was that we had Jason Small, who is the director of the AFL-CIO, join us and talk about these, environmentalist policies that are driving up energy costs, these federal mandates that are upon us, and, losing jobs in the process. And it was really good, refreshing to hear an honest voice coming from the biggest labor union here in the state of Montana as well. So a good time was had up there in Billings. And thank you for joining us as well, Aaron. You were present, and we had a cattle rancher there, talking about the impact on the cattle industry and the food costs. So big time, excellent program. We need to do more of these kinds of educational outreach events to spotlight the bad, reckless spending policies of this current administration. What Senator Daines himself said, it only gets through because they are one vote short in the Senate. It's a 50-50 tie. Kamala Harris has broken that tie more than any vice president in the history of the U.S.
Yeah. It was so great. So many great folks from industry and business owners that were there. There was one young lady named Amanda Flan. I hope I pronounced her last name right there. But she owns she basically operates a bakery out of her house. She bakes her own sourdough bread and then sells direct to customers, right? Like Senator Steve Daines, I have a great appreciation for dad jokes. And the name of her business, as Senator Daines made this point, the name of her business, it's a really cool name. She makes her own bread, and the business is called As Much As You Need, K-N-E-A-D, As Much As You Need. And then I had joked with her, man, and, you know, inflation's stealing a lot of our dough right now, to throw another dad joke into the mix, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that a lot. Yeah, she was there. That's good stuff. But, yeah, it was a good time. It was a good event.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't help weighing in on the previous conversation you had there, Aaron, if I might.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Columbia University alumni.
I didn't know that. I knew you grew up in New York originally, so you went to Columbia.
I did. I took a couple years upstate to a state university college because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and therefore I didn't want to pay a lot for it. And then when I returned, I went downstate to Columbia University, and it grieves me to see this. This is not free speech. This is violence and harassment. This is not something. This goes well beyond free speech that should be allowed on college campuses throughout the U.S. We did fight here in Montana in the state legislature for a constitutional amendment to ensure that the Board of Regents had policies to protect free speech rights on colleges. However, it was subjected to certain guardrails. You couldn't threaten anybody. You couldn't harass anybody. You couldn't incite violence, of course, because that's criminal. It's criminal activity. Shouldn't be tolerated. And unfortunately, we lost that battle of free speech. We could not get that on the ballot. We lost by around 3 or 4 votes in the House. And therefore, you really don't have protected free speech on publicly funded colleges and universities in the state of Montana, which is kind of an unfortunate thing. Now, granted, the left has taken this this political free speech, and now violent speech has become an acceptable form of public speech, which is really a shame and a tragedy because we all suffer as a result. Yeah, let's hear the wide range of views that are out there on any given subject. That's what these universities ought to be about. But let's do this with a modicum of civility and respect for each other so that we can actually learn, not intimidate and incite violence or the threat of violence upon other people. So it's really disheartening to see this happening at Columbia University and NYU and colleges and universities throughout the U.S.
Yeah.
Extremely disheartening.
Well, look at Riley Gaines, the female college swimmer who wanted to go speak up in defense of women's sports against this radical transgender agenda. I think, was she at Berkeley or something like that? And she started getting assaulted and threatened by these radical men who identify as women and these other transgender activists. And it's like, it's another example of the tyranny anarchy situation that we're in America right now, where it's tyranny for people like Riley Gaines, for people like you and me, where they will crack down on peaceful free speech on college campuses. We've unfortunately even, you know, seen it here in Montana over the years. And yet they will allow anarchy and violence and threats and intimidation towards Jewish students or towards female swimmers like Riley Gaines.
Yeah, it is really unfortunate. It's really tragic. And the big losers are the students themselves. The big losers is the nation itself and the culture of violence that somehow has become politically acceptable is really abhorrent. It's not what America is all about. And it's tragic. So I had to weigh in a little bit on that this morning, Aaron, since that is my I'm an alumni at Columbia University. But thankfully, we still have a modicum of free speech, a good modicum of free speech and respectability, civility here in the state of Montana as a whole. And we were out there doing our thing, and you're out there on behalf of Americans for Prosperity, doing these Bidenomics events throughout the state. We're at a restaurant. You're at Topsy Sandwich Place in the afternoon.
you had a family-owned restaurant in the evening. You'll be coming through Bozeman this Saturday at a Fusion Fight. We're co-sponsoring that event, and you will be in the you'll be in the octagon, right?
That's right. I'm stepping into that. I was just at UFC 300. Now I'm stepping into the octagon myself for the Fusion Fight League fights this Saturday night at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse in Bozeman. That's going to be really cool. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, we are in a fight.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're in a fight to save, preserve the American way of life, to preserve the American dream, which we believe that every individual is capable of achieving if we can simply get government out of the way and their bad policies turned down and rejected.
That's right. When it comes to saving America and saving Montana, we are all in the octagon in the fight to save this country, or at least we need to be, right? Henry Kriegel, hold that thought. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Stand by. We'll get to more to follow right after this.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA-locked V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
Fox News commentary.
Hillary Clinton claims Donald Trump wants to kill and imprison his opposition. Sounds like Hillary is reading from her diary again. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Hillary Clinton is backpacking our eardrums and eye sockets with shameless gaslighting and stunning acts of complete and total tone deafness. On a recent podcast appearance, he claimed that Donald Trump is gaga over Putin because he wishes he could kill and imprison his opposition and rule without checks and balances. Did Hillary just read from her own diary again? I mean, it really is just stunning that she, the original election denier, Trump derangement syndrome patient zero, ringleader of double standards, private servers, and opposition intimidation, could sit there and say those things about Trump with a straight face, knowing full well she is describing herself. But I will be honest, as much as it pains me to look and listen to her, I do hope she keeps talking and I hope she keeps campaigning for Democrats, because she is quite literally the least likable person in politics. So keep squealing, Hillary. You're making it easier for Trump's re-election. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com. Xana, not prove this message.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, our friend Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana, he told you about Saturday night. But hey, Friday night, man, Henry, this is going to be really cool. I hope you'll be there as well. So we're doing all these events paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We're getting out all across the state of Montana, highlighting how the massive spending of Joe Biden and John Tester is driving up inflation across the board. And, you know, making the cost of everything go up like crazy. But Friday night, we are going to be at the Rockin' R downtown Bozeman, 5 to 7 p.m. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time. Hope to see all of our Bozeman friends there, or anybody else who just wants an excuse to make it to downtown Bozeman on a Friday night, right?
Oh, heck yeah. Mike Opus is a good friend of ours, both you and I, known him for years.
Great guy.
Mike Hope stood up to the restrictive measures of the local county health board when they tried to shut down businesses in Bozeman, and he won that case. The county attorney's office eventually backed down, and he stands up for small businesses in the area, and he's just a great guy, and we're happy that he's hosting the event. We're happy to bring our business to the Rockin' R Bar on Friday night. So please come on and join us and get to meet the legendary Aaron Flint in living person.
I bribed him to say that, by the way. In fact, not only am I, but what's also, not only can he come down, and of course, the great freedom fighter Henry Kriegel will be there, but we're going to be picking up 24% of all your food costs for that night to make up for 24% restaurant inflation. That's similar deals what we did at On the Rocks on Saturday night, and then we had a deal at Top Sandwich Company on Shiloh Road in Billings on this past Friday. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing Friday. And then Saturday morning, we'll be at V42 Fitness in Three Forks, helping you fight inflation at a great gym in Three Forks, owned by a military veteran and military veteran spouse as well there. So that'll be a ton of fun if you want to come join us for an early morning workout Saturday morning in Three Forks. Henry, you know, one of the other things that stood out to me at this inflation roundtable that Senator Steve Daines put together with us on Friday. Turk Stovall, the rancher, second vice president for the Montana Stock Growers, he made the point that, you know, cattle prices are high, but yet ranchers here in Montana aren't able to capitalize off of that because of all the inflation, all of the high input costs. And to me, that's so analogous of what we're seeing. I know you worked the legislative session for AFP Montana, and you see it with Governor Gianforte and with the GOP supermajority in the legislature. We're doing better in Montana than other states, but yet because of these national economic headwinds, we're still being hurt by it.
Yep, you're totally right. And other part of it is that cattle ranchers have to ship their cattle out to get processed many times because there just simply aren't enough meat processing plants here in the state of Montana to serve them. And I'm happy to note this is a news update that Tim C is working on building a meat processing plant right there in Great Falls so that cattle ranchers could enjoy more of their net profits because they lose it in the shipping.
And he's got the feedlot in Shepherd that he actually partners with Turk Stovall on, which is very cool. Their beef was featured, Little Bell Cattle Company was featured at the Montana Stock Growers at their convention in Billings this past December. And so, yeah, really cool deal all around. All right, about 30 seconds to go. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joining us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. I'm hoping he sticks around for the 9 o'clock hour as well. He's kind of a busy guy, though. You know, he's all over Rumble and everything. Henry Kriegel, any final thoughts from you? 30 seconds to go.
I would just say, hey, we are in the fight for the American dream. And that's why I'm in this game. And that's why, thankfully, Aaron Flynn has joined us on this Bidenomics tour. And yes, my friend Aaron brings in at least up to half the audience because they love you, Aaron. And so do I. Thank you for everything.
You're the man, Henry.
Every morning.
Henry Kriegel, man, I tell you what, he's been a freedom fighter. Folks listening to 1450 KMMS have known him for years. A great freedom fighter. Good to see you in the octagon Saturday night. I want Holyfield.
Democracy 24.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is once again facing heavy blowback from the city's black residents who are outraged over his plans to add to the $300 million the city spent on migrants by transferring $70 million more dollars from the city's rainy day fund to that effort. Residents P. Ray Easley and Jessica Jackson wore shirts saying, "Turn Chicago red," as they blasted local officials at a city council meeting.
We need that money in my neighborhood. We need that on my block.
You vote for the money for these immigrants today, and we coming for them seats. You can believe that.
There's also a new effort to kick Mayor Brandon Johnson out of office. A separate group of Chicagoans fed up with Johnson's handling of crime and the migrants is working to get a referendum on the ballot this November that would create a law allowing voters to recall any Chicago mayor, starting with Johnson. In Chicago, I'm Garrett Tenney, Fox News.